Well, some of you are awake.
We are ready.
I heard a whole lot of noise back here, not so much out there.
There's noise.
How is everybody? Doing good?
Fantastic.
All right. So hopefully when you came in this morning, you received the bulletin. If not, please make sure that you grab one on the way out. So first and foremost, there is no church picnic today. The church picnic has been canceled because of the bad air quality. We do not want people to feel like they have to come out, and we don't want to put people in harm's way. So it may look good now, but by about 3 o'clock this afternoon, it's supposed to start getting worse. So it was really a tough decision. And by the way, just so that you know, I don't make these decisions on my own. Robert and I, we talk about it, and we look at all of the factors. Robert did a whole bunch of research yesterday on what the quality of the air supposedly was going to be later on this evening. And based upon all of the data that we had, we decided this was the best thing for us to be able to do for our church family. So whether it's in this kind of a situation, if it snows and we think the roads are too bad for people to be able to get out and to come to church, and it's better for your safety and for your health to stay at home, those are the things that Robert and I really spend a lot of time considering. So these are not decisions. When we decide that we're not going to do something, it is not something that we just do just at the spur of a moment. We spend a lot of time thinking and considering, and most of our thinking and considering has to do with you. So I hope that helps illuminate you. If you get up in the morning and you see that there's snow on the ground, then you can either text me or Robert, or call me or Robert, or email us, and we'll let you know. But hopefully we'll be able to get word out to as many people as we can that church or some event has been canceled. So no church picnic tonight. Got it? Y'all got it? I don't want you driving down to the park, okay? All right. So Tuesday night, we have men's Bible study at the church at 7 p.m. So men, come. We're going to be studying the 10 most misunderstood words in the Bible. And so it's going to be a really, really good study. We have our Joy Bible study again at 1 p.m. on Wednesday. We started our study in the book of Romans last Wednesday, and it was really good. So I want to encourage you to be able to come. Thursday night, Awana begins, and it's Bring a Friend night. So that's going to be really good as well. Ladies Bible study, you'll see an announcement in there about that. And then you have a family thank you to our church family from Carissa and Kayla. I've been getting updates. Yesterday didn't look like they were gonna make their connecting flight because they were delayed flying out of Portland. But they were able to get onto the plane. The plane got them to Amsterdam. They got there in plenty of time to be able to make their connecting flight. So now they are scheduled to arrive in Uganda at 1:30 Boise time today. But we're not sure about their luggage, and we're not sure about the bins of stuff that they took as to whether or not that's going to get to Uganda at the same time this afternoon. So if you need to pray for the fact that their luggage at least gets there, and when the bins get there, the bins get there. But hopefully it all arrives all in time, and everything will be fine, but we're just not exactly sure about that. If you have any questions, you can come and see me, and I'll try to answer those questions for you. There's other announcements in the bulletin, so make sure that you have one so that you are apprised of all of those. Well, I'm so glad that you're here. Are you glad that you're here? At least it's not smoky inside here, right? So that's a good thing. All right, so let's lift our voices in praise to the Lord.
Would you all stand with me this morning? It's so good to be in church today. Amen? Man, I tell you what, I love coming to church. I love having the opportunity to sing these songs. Why? Not because I sing really well. Not because these songs are special in any other way, except that we worship God, except that we remember Jesus. Let's sing. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Let's sing verse 4. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. Please be seated as we continue this morning. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that we can come into this place, that we can remember You. Lord, we came here for You today. God, I pray that this morning, as we lift up a few more songs, as we break open the Scriptures and just look at who You are, the God of all creation, our Maker, our Creator, the One who gives us purpose, life, and hope, Lord, as we sing these songs, may they resonate in our heart as we worship you. Not just to sing a song, but to worship you. We love you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me, and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretched treasure. How great the pain I see, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until brought me life. I know that it is fitting. no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ. His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
Lord, thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Why should we gain this reward that you freely give, that we don't deserve, that we can't earn? The only answer is grace, mercy, love. You showed us what true love really is. You sent Jesus to that cross. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We say thank you. Hallelujah and thank you. We love you. Amen. Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering. We're going to sing a song that says, just as I am. Just as I am. When we come to the Lord, he will accept us just as we are. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for his grace, for his mercy.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Welcomes. He cleanses and he relieves. What a blessed, blessed truth that is. Hey, we're going to do something we haven't done for a long time. Children, come on down. We'll get you ready for children's church. Woo! You should have been running. Here they come, just moseying down. Another day. Aren't you glad we got children's church today? Okay. Are you glad we got children's church today? Yeah? Okay. There's one. All right, let's pray. Father, we are just so grateful for the fact that we are here this morning. Father, we're not in the smoke. We're not out and amongst the traffic. We are here. Father, we've been able to just lift our voices in praise to you. Father, to be reminded of your grace, your mercy, and your love. the fact that you receive us. You receive us as we are. And then because we believe in Jesus as Savior, you begin that cleansing process. And you give us opportunity when the sin of this world comes to be a part of our life to where we can be cleansed. Father, you relieve us. Someday you're going to relieve us of the very presence of sin because we believe in you as Savior. Father, we're looking forward to that. But in the meantime, you've given us your word that tells us we're welcome. You give us your word that tells us that we're loved, that tells us that you have done this because not for any other reason than you are gracious and merciful. And Father, I pray that whether we're in Children's Church or whether we're here, Father, we will open our hearts and our ears to what you have in store for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go and have a great time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 25. So hopefully you all are being reminded over and over again of our tour of the tabernacle. So remember, we started in the outer court. And the outer court was everything that was on the outside of the white linen fence. The white linen fence that every time that you were to gaze upon that white linen fence, you were to be reminded of the righteousness and the purity of Jesus. And that fence was so tall, you couldn't climb over it to be able to get in because there was only one door. And so we came to the door and we saw how when the Israelites brought their sacrifices to the tabernacle to be able to be offered up to God, the priest would meet them at the door and would open the door partially, just enough for the sacrifice to be able to come in. Because you couldn't enter into that tabernacle. Because once you went through that door, you were in the holy place. And then beyond the holy place was the Holy of Holies. And we're going to be looking at the Holy of Holies here in just a little while, in just a couple more sermons. And then we saw the altar of sacrifice, where we see the picture of Jesus sacrificed on the cross as our substitute. Because you see, all of those sacrifices that were brought to the tabernacle and then later on were brought to the temples, all they were was just a substitute. Only Jesus, when he came and went to that cross and gave his life, his blood being shed, his body being broken, only then was the sin of the world eradicated, taken away. He was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world, and he was the only one who could do that. He is God's perfect Lamb who shed his blood for sin. And then last week, we went to the wash basin as a reminder that we need to be cleansed as we give into sin while we're on this journey. So let's continue our tour this morning. So as soon as a priest would step inside the curtain into the holy place, not the Holy of Holies, but the holy place, he would be dazzled by a bright light that seemed to be everywhere at once. The pure gold that covered every wall seemed to be on fire with light. And because of the continual reflection and refraction of light from every board in the tabernacle, there was no dark place anywhere in this room. It was as though a bright star was shining in the middle of the day inside this holy place. In fact, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19 gives us a little bit of insight into this. Peter writes, "And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Well, where did the bright light in this room come from? Well, the priest would stand there for a moment, letting his eyes adjust to the brightness. And in a moment, he could begin to focus on that source of that light. It was a very large, solid gold piece of furniture called the golden lampstand. Hopefully by now you found chapter 25 in the book of Exodus, and follow along as I read verses 31 down through verse 40. God says, "You shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be made of hammered work. its base, its stem, its cups, its calyxes, and its flowers shall be of one piece with it. And there shall be six branches going out of its sides, three branches of the lampstand out of one side of it, and three branches of the lampstand out of the other side of it. Three cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower on one branch. And three cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower on the other branch. So for the six branches going out of the lampstand, and on the lampstand itself there shall be four cups made like almond blossoms with their calyxes and flowers, and a calyx of one piece with it under each pair of the six branches going out from the lampstand. Their calyxes and their branches shall be of one piece with it, the whole of it a single piece hammered of work of pure gold. You shall make seven lamps for it, and the lamps shall be set up so as to give light on the space in front of it. Its tongs and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made with all these utensils out of a talent of pure gold. And see that you make them after the pattern for them, which is being shown to you on the mountain. So the purpose of this golden lampstand is to illuminate the holy place. There are no windows in the tabernacle. You can kind of get an idea of that as you look at the model of the tabernacle back on the back table. This is the place of the glory of God. And the light of God was there. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine walking by and seeing this light shining out from above the top of the fence, the top of the white linen fence, and knowing that that was, as the priest would explain to you, the light of God filling the entirety of the tabernacle. This was God's light. And God's light is different from the light of the world. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." So these things that we see in Colossians, human tradition, science, logic, and human philosophy are worldly light. But the light of God is Jesus, who is the light of the world. John 1:9 says, "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." God's light is the true light. God sent Jesus not only to be the Savior, but to be the light of the world. He sent Jesus to be able to reveal to us God's character, to be able to reveal to us God's purposes and plans, and then to reveal to us God's offer of salvation for eternal life through what he, Jesus, was going to do for us on the cross. You see, the lampstand of gold was necessary to dispel the darkness so that the priest could fulfill his responsibilities. So let's take a few moments this morning and let's talk about the construction of the lampstand. The lampstand was made of one talent of pure gold. Now, a talent is about 90 pounds. So we're looking at 90 pounds of pure gold. Its cost in today's economy with the price of gold currently would be about $16 billion. How many of you have a piece of furniture in your house that's worth that you paid $1 billion for? I didn't think so. Sometimes we think that the furniture inside our house is worth $1 billion, right? I remember when I was growing up, my mom was from West Virginia, and she had a sister named Mary that lived in West Virginia. Her and my uncle, Webb, he was a coal miner, but they also owned a hotel and a bar in Fairmont, West Virginia. And so we would go to visit, and oftentimes when we went to visit, we stayed in the hotel. And for free. That's the way my dad stayed at the hotel, was for free. But oftentimes we were able to go and visit Aunt Mary and Uncle Webb in their house. And Aunt Mary had a room. She called it the living room. And it had white carpet, white, fluffy, long, furry carpet. And she had white chairs. And she had a white couch. But you weren't ever allowed to go in there. You couldn't walk on the white carpet. You couldn't sit on the white couch. And I always thought, what's the point? You know? And it was always interesting here in this part of the house that was pure white. My Uncle Webb would come home from the coal mine, and he would be anything but white. You know, his face would be black, his hands would be black, his clothes would be black, his shoes would be black from the dust of the coal mine. I don't know if my Uncle Webb ever got to go in that room and sit on that couch or walk on that white carpet. But you'd have thought that it was worth $16 billion the way my Aunt Mary treated that. But just imagine how precious this lampstand of gold was. Now, the gold of the lampstand tells us that the lampstand was all about God and God alone. Nothing of this earth and nothing of man had any part in it, for it represented the glory of God in its purest form. Oh, Jeremy has a picture of it up there, so you can kind of see what it looks like. So the golden lampstand was fashioned out of one piece of hammered gold. This is a picture of Jesus and his cross. Remember when Jesus was on that cross? He had something hammered into his body, didn't he? He had nails hammered into his hands. He had nails hammered into his feet so that his blood was shed for your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world. Along with the main shaft, there were seven branches in all. You ever wonder where the menorah came from? Came from the tabernacle. Came from the golden lampstand inside the tabernacle. And when you would look to your left in the holy place, you would see this beautiful lampstand with seven flames bringing this light into the room. Now, most of us might picture the golden lampstand as a candelabra with long white candles of wax, which were constantly in need of changing as they consumed themselves. But notice the golden lampstand didn't have any candles on it at all. Instead, the light was the product of burning pure olive oil that would have to be constantly replenished by the priests who were assigned that job. The priests would also have to be constantly trimming the wicks on each flame. Now, have you ever been to Cracker Barrel? And have you ever been to Cracker Barrel at night? You know, they have these kerosene lamps or oil lamps on the tables. And at night, when it starts to get dark, the servers come along and they turn up the wick and they light the light. And then they put the globe back down on it. It's really kind of a neat thing to be able to see that light shining as you're there eating, as that lamp is burning. It's kind of the same idea as what they needed to do, the priests needed to do. There were wicks coming up into those cups that were filled with pure olive oil. The priests would have to constantly be trimming the wicks on each flame to keep the soot and the ashes. Now, where did the soot and the ashes come from? From the altar of sacrifice. As those sacrifices were burning on the altar, the soot and the ash would filter through the tabernacle. And so they had to make sure that they were doing that to keep the olive oil pure, because if the soot and ashes got into those little cups, it would dim the light. You know, when the soot and ash of this world comes up into our hearts and comes up into our lives, it would have a tendency to what? Dim our light. Dim the light that God wants us to be able to shine for him. Dim the light that Jesus said is important for us to shine so that others will be able to see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Those good works aren't for salvation. Those good works are because we already have salvation. Because the lampstand was to burn continually before God, it was necessary for the priest to replenish it with oil and trim its wicks twice daily, once in the morning, once in the evening. Now, you can see that the central shaft is divided on both sides into three limbs, each to look like an almond branch. Why an almond branch? Well, in Israel, there's lots of almond trees. And in the early spring, the almond trees are the first trees to be able to have buds appear on them. And that's a sign that life is coming out of death. And it was to remind and be a picture to the Israelites that eternal life comes out of the death of one, comes out of the death of the Messiah, comes out of the death of the Savior. He rose again on the third day. And when we believe in him as Savior, the Bible tells us that we join together with him in his resurrection. And so every time that this was lit, every time that the priests were there around this golden lampstand, they were reminded that there was one that was coming, and he was going to die, but he was going to rise again, and life was going to come out of his death. The pure olive oil is in each bowl, and a wick inside is lit. And on each branch are calyxes. That's what these flowered little things are to look like. They're called calyxes. And they are fruit-like shaped. And then there's a likeness of a flower that is carved into each one. Actually, the calyxes are really like the bowls that are up there. They were shaped like a fruit. Amazing, isn't it? How beautiful this was. How precious this was. How expensive this was to remind the priests, to remind the Israelites, and it's preserved for us in God's word, to remind us of the high cost that it took God to send the Lamb of God, which took away the sin of the world. It came at a very high cost. It cost him his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Let's talk for a moment about the fuel for the lampstand. The fuel, as we've already said, is pure olive oil. Now, the oil represents the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask you a question this morning. What's the fuel that keeps this church on fire? Is it me as the pastor? Is it us as the elders? Is it us as the leadership team? It better not be. That's exactly right. Okay? No, it's the Holy Spirit. What's the fuel that will ignite you to be a shining light for God? It's the Holy Spirit. It's not your talent. It's not your intellect. It's not your influence. It's not your bank account. It's the Holy Spirit that ignites every single one of us to be a shining light for God. It's his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our spiritual power source. Not by man's strength or man-made programs or man-made devices, but by God's Spirit are spiritual things accomplished. We can try to have a great worship service, and we can put a lot of effort into it, but it will be a big flop. Not if the weather turns bad, not if the crowd is down, not if the people are hot and tired from the heat and from breathing the smoke in the air. But if we don't see God and trust him to work in and through our worship service by his Holy Spirit. You see, if Jared and the worship team try to do it in their own strength, won't happen. If I try to do it in my own strength, it won't happen. If our leadership team tries to provide the guidance and the leadership that God has called them to for those of us here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, if they're doing it in their own strength, it's not going to be effective. We are all depending on one spiritual source of power. That is God's Holy Spirit. If we try to do it in our own strength, then very quickly we will see how weak we really are. Would you pray that Lake Hazel Bible Church will be set ablaze for God's glory and will bring God's light to the darkness of this community? Would you join together with us as a leadership team to be able to see that happen? You know, I'm reminded when I think about that of a narrative that were told in the Old Testament. God's prophet Elisha came across a widow in debt, about to be hauled off to prison. All she had was a little cruse of oil. But Elisha told her to gather all the vessels she could find and start pouring oil into them. She went and she got all of the vessels, all of the pots, all of the pans, all of the vases, all of the containers that she could find. And she started pouring from that little cruse of oil. She started pouring them into all of those containers. And you know what was amazing? That little cruse of oil never ran out. And then she could take all of those other containers of oil that had been filled and sell them. And then by doing that, she had enough money to be able to pay off her debt and now be able to take care of herself. And it all started with just a little oil. We have the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God available to us. God's word makes it clear that when we come to believe in Jesus as Savior, we are indwelt immediately by the Holy Spirit. And all of the resources that he has are available to us. All we need to do is recognize that he has filled us and he wants to use us. He wants us to know that we are filled by him and we can do things by his power. Would you make yourself available to be a vessel for the Holy Spirit to be able to fill? Now I want us to look at the flame of the lampstand. You know, if you were to ask people three questions, you would get a whole host of answers. There are three questions that I think are in the minds of all people. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? You ever heard anybody ask those questions? Did they ever come up in conversation? So ask a non-illuminated person these questions, and they don't have a biblical answer. Ask them the first question, and they will say something like this. Ask them, where did you come from? They would say, well, I was a tadpole when I began to begin. Then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey in a coconut tree. Now I'm a person with a college degree. Why are you here? They would say, to make as much money as possible for my kids to fight over someday. Where are you going? I don't know, and I don't care. You know, John 3:19, Jesus said this, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. You know, as we have conversations with people who are non-believers or who are not strong in their knowledge of God's word, we shouldn't be surprised at the way they answer. We shouldn't be surprised at their attitudes and their actions, because light was deposited into Jesus. And it tells us in John chapter 1 that what? He was rejected. Light was deposited into the Bible. In fact, in the book of Psalms, it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. And there are many today that still reject it. And light is deposited in you. The moment that you believe in Jesus as Savior, the light of the Holy Spirit comes on. So let that light shine forth from you for God's glory. Now, as we looked at God's instructions about this golden lampstand, he says to make tongs and trays out of gold and put them by the golden lampstand. Why? So that the priest can pour in the oil and trim the wicks. You know, it's not always pleasant, but it's often necessary when God needs to do some trimming and adjusting in our lives. But there's a reason why he does that. He does the trimming and the filling so that you and I can burn bright as a light for him. When Jesus was here, Jesus told us about this, and it's recorded for us in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Those good works are done by us after we believe in Jesus as Savior, because we have salvation through what Jesus has done for us on the cross. So that what? We can be praised? Nope. So that we can let people see how good we are? Nope. How great we are? Nope. So that our Father in heaven is glorified. As individuals, we need to be a light in darkness at school, at work, in the home, in the community. And keep this in mind. In certain situations, you may be the only light around. So don't hide it under a basket. Don't let Satan blow it out. Let it shine. I think we've all at one time or another have sang that song, right? This little light of mine, I'm going to what? Let it be dark? No, I'm going to what? Let it shine. Hide it under a basket? Nope. I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Keep burning brightly. Don't ever burn out. So if you walk away with something today, walk away with this. Recognize the light of God. The light of God that is yours as a result of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And then follow that light of God. The light of God's word. God's word is a light unto our paths. And then, in whatever circumstance, in whatever place, radiate the light of God. So let's all let God keep our light and our life trimmed. Father, that's our prayer this morning, is that we will let you trim our life so that our light shines brightly. Father, help us to be able to cleanse ourselves when we know that the soot and the ash of sin has splashed up into our lives. Father, that our light won't be dim, that our light can shine bright for you. Father, help us to be able to come to you for that cleansing and that forgiveness. Father, we want to be a church whose light shines bright in our community. We want to be a church that our light shines in whatever area that we are, whatever realm we're in. Father, whether it's at home, or whether it's at work, or whether it's a community, or whether it's in the church. Father, may we be bright lights so that people will see our light. And not give us the glory, not give us the credit, not give us the praise, but glorify you. Father, may we be that kind of a light. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me on this last song? What a friend we have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Take and shield thee.